We're reading in 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 3 now, beginning with verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. And what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You see, he had sent the Timothy back to Thessalonica. He was only able to stay there 3 weeks or less because of the persecutions. And now he was disturbed for fear that the tempter might have tempted them and his labor have been in vain. And so he sent Timothy back to comfort and establish them with the Word of God. And it was effectual. The Word of God always is effectual. If we only had more confidence in the Word of God, we don't need to give book reviews. We don't need to give psychological essays. We need to preach the Word. And if you're a believer, you need to get into the Word of God. There's no substitute for studying the Word of God. Now, he had received some good news from Timothy. He calls it in verse 6, good tidings. By the way, this is the same word that's translated gospel elsewhere in this epistle. The good news from God is called the gospel. He had received good news concerning their faith and charity. Now, the two always go together. If you believe God, you're going to love God. If you believe God, you're going to love his children. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you believe God, you're going to love the souls of your fellow men. The two always go together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. And so he was glad to hear that they believed God and proved their faith in God by the way they lived. Now, his greatest desire for his children in the faith was that they might be established, they might go on well for God. Nothing else is really worthwhile. I hope you're not living in this world just to have a good time. Of course, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a true believer in the Lord Jesus, you're living an empty life, and you need to be redeemed from your vain way of living received by tradition from your fathers, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. But if you are a believer, if you've received Christ as your Savior, the thing that really counts is that you stand fast in the Lord. And he says, we live, we're glad if you stand fast in the Lord. That is, hold on to what you've been taught and depend on the Lord and go on well for him. And this gave Paul great joy. 7 times in the New Testament, we're told how Christians can have fullness of joy. It never has anything to do with having material possessions or good health or friends. It always has to do with spiritual things. Now, notice the earnestness of the Apostle Paul. In verse 10, he said, night and day he had been praying exceedingly that he might see their face and that he might perfect or mature that which was lacking in their faith. Now, it wasn't that they were not saved. They were saved. But they did not fully understand. There needed to be growth. And God wants us to grow. And the only way we can grow is to be taught more and more of the Word of God. There's always more to be learned. Even when we get home to heaven, we'll have a great deal to be learned. But he says, I'm going to put you in God's hands. God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. He'll bring us to you. He'll open the way. He'll make it possible for us to come to you. Our life is in God's hands. Is your life in God's hands? Why, you say, no, I'm master of my own fate. I paddle my own canoe. I don't need anyone. I feel sorry for you. I pity you if you feel like this. You don't know how very much you need God to direct your way. But perhaps you're a believer and you say, well, I want God to direct my way, but he just doesn't seem to do it. I don't know how to get guidance. Well, first of all, you and I have got to really want guidance. Most of the time we don't. Most of the time we have our minds made up and we're trying to get God to see it our way. But if you really put it in God's hands, he says the meek will he guide in judgment. Then he prayed that the Lord would make them to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now they did love the Lord's people, but he wanted them to grow. You see, there's always room for growth. There must be the new birth. This puts us in God's family. Then there must be growth. We must mature. And as we mature, we will love more and more our fellow believers on an ever-widening scope. And he asked for this, that they might be established, to the end you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. You see, the true mark of Christianity, the true criterion of holiness, is love for one another. In John's first epistle, he tells us that God is light, and so we as Christians ought to live godly lives. Then he tells us that God is love, and we as Christians ought to increase in love one for another. And he says that he wants us to be perfected and be presented in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, he's been talking so far about the coming of the Lord for his saints. This may take place any moment. There is nothing yet to be fulfilled before the Lord comes for his saints. Then there will be 7 years of the great tribulation, and at the end of that time, the battle of Armageddon, and the Lord will come back down to this earth with his saints to set up his kingdom. And this is what he's talking about here, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. Now, notice he doesn't say, we command you, we demand this of you. You must do this or be lost. No, that's what the law said. But under grace, he says, I ask this favor of you. If you're a real Christian, can you deny the Lord this? As you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Isn't this what a Christian wants to do? To please God and to abound more and more. To make progress. To become more pleasing to him. Now, we're going to be in heaven. But while we're still here on this earth, he would like us to become more like the Lord Jesus. He would like us to please him. He says, you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, these are not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given by Moses. The commandments given to us by the Lord Jesus are stated in 1 John chapter 4, where he says that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So confidence in God and love for our fellow Christians constitutes the whole commandment that we have in the Lord Jesus. After all, this covers everything, because love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, beginning at verse 3 of the 4th chapter and down through verse 7, he talks about sanctification. He says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, while the word sanctification is connected with the word holy and saints, the word itself really means to set apart. And some people in the Old Testament sanctified themselves to do evil. So it didn't mean that they made themselves different or better. We read about our food being sanctified by the word of God and prayer. It doesn't become holy, but it's set apart to our use. And then we read that the Lord Jesus himself sanctified himself. He set himself apart for the purpose of honoring his Father and blessing us. Now, set-apart people are going to be clean people. Remember that they were living in an unholy world. So are you and I. A very unholy environment. Most people are living lives that are sexually unclean. And so he calls their attention to this, that they should abstain from fornication. They should know how to possess their vessel in sanctification and honor. The vessel means, of course, the body. Not in the lust of concupiscence, not living like the people, the Gentiles who know not God. He wants us to be careful how we live because, he says in verse 7, God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness, so that we as believers ought to live holy lives. Now he says that he that despises not man, but God. who has also given to us his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the power for holy living. Now he goes back to the subject of brotherly love at verse 9, and he says, you don't need me to write to you about this, because God himself has taught you to love one another. And you do love one another, but he said, we want you, brethren, we beseech you, brethren, we ask of you, you beg of you, that you increase more and more. This is real progress. This is the way God wants us to live. He wants us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And if we study to be quiet and to do our own business and to work with our own hands, this is practical, everyday good behavior. You see, Christianity is a very practical thing. Some people say, well, I'm trying to be good, so I'll be a Christian. Well, as my old Kentucky grandfather used to say, you're getting the cart before the horse. You can't live a good life to become a Christian. But if you will become a Christian, if you will receive Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit will enable you to live a practically good life. This is true holiness. This is the kind of life that God would have us to live. And when you do this and walk honestly toward them that are without and have lack of nothing, your testimony before the unbelievers will be good. You'll be able to win others to Christ. You'll be a useful Christian as well as a happy Christian. Now, these are the things that Paul wished for those whom he had led to Christ. If you haven't received Christ, you'll have to do this first, because you can't be a Christian without Christ. When you have received Christ, then the Holy Spirit will help you to live in this way, pleasing to Christ.